Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
It is Will's Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's morning news is in. Good morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. And we are tackling heart health today for Valentine's Day. I was attempting to do the most awesome massage piece under $40. Just sold out. I'm going to reattempt that tomorrow.
All right.
And focus upon a silent killer that happens to be in a lot of our homes.
Tell me about it. What do you have?
Okay, so here's the thing. I say silent killer. What do you think? Carbon monoxide, right? Usually smoke.
Yeah.
It's a detector, right? We all have detectors in our home in the event that something goes wrong and we're not aware of it. The same detection that a lot of people are using for their homes is something we could be using for our bodies. I know, it sounds weird. Where is this going, Granite? What's going on? Bill, how often do you get your blood pressure or anything tied to your heart measured?
Well, yearly at a physical, and then normally it's high, so I go back and do it once again. Yeah.
Okay, so you're like most of the people listening right now. Okay. This is an issue where we go once a year for our annual. If you know you have to watch out for a little bit, that's something that you go to a little bit more. And for a lot of us, it comes down to a pharmacy or a drugstore. But there is, from the Consumer Electronics Show, one of the most accurate detectors in the world. It will detect anything from irregular heartbeats to arrhythmia to high, low blood pressure, give the alerts, but also chart your progress over time. And the reason this is so crucial is, well, Valentine's Day obviously has its traditional associations, but a lot of the medical professionals tied into our heart create some really good incentives tied to heart health on Valentine's Day. And that's where we find ourselves today. So, Bill, my favorite thing today is a traditional blood pressure amped up a little bit. But the CS gadget fits into the palm of your hands, usually about $60 or $70, down to $29, considered to be one of the most portable, one of the most lightweight, and one of the most accurate in the world. And if you check your blood pressure a little bit more regularly than once a year, you could be on top of some potential issues later down the line.
Now, I'm watching you on the video. That's the thing that's on your wrist. Looks like where a quarterback's looking at plays.
Exactly.
Kind of a larger, like an iPhone, almost an iPhone thing on it. Okay.
Yeah, you summed it up perfectly. That's the item, and that's something that I really want to focus on today, because at under $30, it's something we could all afford, and something maybe you can't afford not to have.
Beautiful. For you, and maybe a gift for someone you love that you're also concerned about their heart. I like that.
Love it.
Good tech health for Valentine's Day. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow with another deal. Just go to WTAM.com. Keyword save. Thanks, pal.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder Sports Now. Mornings 15 and 45 past on News Radio WTAM 1100. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Well, last week I heard about Cavaliers players wondering aloud if the Cavs had enough talent to win with this current roster, to win it all. Now, apparently there was some finger-pointing in a team meeting before practice yesterday. Reports of this surfaced last night, in which several players wondered aloud, reportedly, about Kevin Love's illness Saturday. Now, Love played the first 3 minutes of the game against Oklahoma City, then left the game. He then later left the building after the end of the first half and then missed practice on Sunday. Now, they talked it through, according to the report at the meeting. Now, here's what Love said about his illness after yesterday's practice.
Got super dizzy, disoriented, didn't feel right. Went to the bench. We both agreed that maybe we should just give it a few minutes, and then just didn't feel right halftime. Put Tristan in to start the second half and went from there.
So, and from there, it was an ugly day. A historically bad performance as they allowed 148 points to the Thunder. The Cavs have just been getting blown out on a regular basis, and they really are now at a crossroads of the season as we look at these next few weeks leading up to the trade deadline. Can they figure things out tonight in San Antonio? It's an 8 o'clock tip. We will have it for you right here. Also, at 5:45, we will hear from LeBron about what he needs to do. Now, the Cavs aren't the only team with issues in the NBA right now. The Milwaukee Bucks have fired head coach Jason Kidd. Bucks in seventh place in the East. I really thought Kidd was doing an all right job there. College basketball, things going well for the Buckeyes. They beat Nebraska 64-59 to stay unbeaten in the Big Ten. Now let's go to the Browns. They have yet to make the official announcement, but former Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley is headed here. He will take over the Browns offense this year. This is a significant move by Hugh Jackson, who really has handled the duties. He is an offensive offensive coach, and for him to accept a strong personality like Haley, I really give Hugh credit here. Hopefully this can work out. You know, I really am getting the feel that there are real football people now here running the Browns in the front office, and this is a heck of an addition, I think, for the Browns coaching staff. Speaking of coaches, Browns former head coach Pat Shurmur is getting a chance to be a head coach again in the NFL. He did a nice job with the Vikings up until the championship game the other day. He's the new head coach of the New York Giants. Baseball. Austin Jackson played well for the Tribe last year. The Indians aren't bringing him back, though. He's being rewarded, though, with a two-year, $6 million deal with the San Francisco Giants. More on the Cavs coming up at 5:45 and LeBron's take on what he needs to do to get this thing turned around. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Bunch of rich people getting together in Davos, Switzerland. Our Bill Zimpfer on that this morning on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill, good morning. This is what the World Economic Forum?
Yeah, that's technically the name of it, Bill, but I'll tell you what. It is, if you wanted to put together an advertisement for this, it's where world leaders, business executives, and billionaires meet. It really is kind of it's been criticized as an elitist gathering, but this year there is one added attraction, and that will be Donald Trump.
And President Trump's going to be there to talk deals and talk about the U.S., I guess?
Well, he is scheduled to talk on Friday, and one of the things he'll be talking about is his America First initiative, which will fly right in the face of the World Economic Forum's policy as they try to achieve global economy status and the globalization of trade. So it'll be interesting what kind of reaction there is. And by the way, there is an avalanche alert in effect there in Davos, but I don't think it's because the president's going to arrive.
Well, let's hope everybody's safe. Now, while the commander-in-chief is heading that way, number two has been starting to head back, I guess, visiting over in the Middle East and a speech in Israel. How did Pence's visit go?
Well, I think everything went pretty well for Mike Pence. In Israel, of course, they rolled out the red carpet for him. He did speak to the Knesset yesterday. Some members of the Knesset had to be forcibly removed at the beginning of his speech because they were Arab members of the parliament that were opposed to the U.S. Decision on Jerusalem. But all in all, I think that the vice president got the U.S. point across in all of his stops over there. And our status is pretty clear now among all the countries in the Middle East.
All right, Bill Zimpfer on the president's trip over to Davos and the vice president heading back after being in the Middle East. Thanks, Bill.
Yep.
Sources say behind closed doors, yelling, screaming, GM coach there, and looks like and sounds like they're backing the truck up over Kevin Love.
Yeah, I'm sure that was all his fault. That's always a good way to go. I saw that. Of course, a lot of times you go, well, what exactly came out of the meeting? They go, well, Love got sick and he left early, so that was the problem. You know, I will say this. Once in a while, team meetings don't have to make a whole lot of sense to be effective. And maybe that'll be this one, but who knows?
Really, right now, you know, I think, Terry, you did your piece yesterday was very interesting. I thought about the way you, just the psyche of some of the guys who came here and how this right now, what their expectations are, and this roster right now to get through this. You know, we're complaining they got to be better defensively than they've been, but I don't know how much better some of these guys can be.
Well, they can't, but you could play your. In fact, I have a story going up on Cleveland.com this morning. I mean, one of the things the coach controls is playing time. If you want to have better defense, then play some of your better defenders. I mean, this sounds sort of obvious, but that's kind of a way to go. And for example, your best two defenders in your backcourt are Calderon and Wade, so you play them a little more. Maybe you start the game with them more. You go through those type of things. But I do believe, whether you're talking about Rose or Jeff Green or Derek you know, the guys that came in the Celtic trade, Crowder and Isaiah Thomas, any of these guys, I think they just sort of figure they'd show up here and LeBron's here and you kind of roll through the East and then here's the ticket to the finals. And, of course, we know here usually there's some drama in every season, but this is different because they have been so bad.
Yeah, it's been incredible, embarrassing, give up 148 the other day, and well, we know how lopsided they've been. Now, if they have this, Kevin Love, he's moved around, can you put the toothpaste back? You got a guy, if this is all accurate, some guys are questioning whether the guy, you know, is actually sick. You wonder now going forward, although Love did seem to be, you know, on board yesterday when he did talk to the meeting after this occurred.
I mean, some of those guys could say that. It's always easy to sort of point at somebody else's injury or somebody else's sickness. And, you know, I played through this and you didn't. I mean, I will say this. Kevin Love has played a lot of games since he came here. And, you know, for all the different times it comes up where Kevin Love has been, you know, blamed for different things, I just don't think he's been the Cavs' big problem. Kevin Love at center is not a good defensive, you know, thing for him. That just isn't. But I don't know. I hope there are a whole lot of issues that came out of that besides Kevin Love being sick, because otherwise, you know, that's like looking at my car is broken down and man, do I hate the paint job.
All right, Terry, when you look at it now, though, and I know you wondered too, I've wondered that Coach Lou hasn't made some move here, but I guess I come back to they're incorporating Isaiah Thomas. This is a dramatic impact to the team, what he brings. He's trying to get him up to speed. He's such an offensive guy, but defensively, just he can try, but he's going to get overmatched. So they've got a lot of moving parts trying to get him going. Is that what you see as the as a big problem right now?
Part of the problem, not the biggest problem. It's the easiest way to go there. But this team has ranked 29th defensively since the All-Star break of last year. It's a full calendar year. So please, you know, is the thing about Isaiah that's annoying is when he fires up all those shots, he's missing, and then people get all out of whack. By the way, I looked it up. There's a thing in ESPN called defensive plus minus. Isaiah Thomas last year was rated the worst defensive point guard in the NBA, according to that, even with Boston. He was ranked 72nd. By the way, Kyrie was like 66th, and Derrick Rose was 68th. So they got three of the worst defending point guards, you know, on the roster. My main point, that's only part of it. See, the reason I think right now where if you want Isaiah to be effective, and he could be effective for quite a while, is just come off the bench and fire away. That might be the thing to do. And, you know, he could end up playing fourth quarters that way or so on. But to just say, well, we've got to do this, we got to do that, and we got to keep giving up 128 points. By the way, four games out of the last 12, during this 12-game stretch for the 3-9, four times they've allowed 127 more.
Yeah, it's just brutal.
And you got to want to play defense. I don't care what level of basketball you are. You're making millions, you're playing junior high. You got to want to play defense. Well,
right, and Bill, and you. So then you reward the people who are at least giving an effort.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, at all some right. point, you got to say, hey, this is embarrassing. I mean, yeah. You don't even have to look at the film when you get drummed the way they did the other day. My gosh.
There's more on the story at willsinsider.com. Follow Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Always a good follow, and more up online. Terry, thanks, pal.
Take care, guys.
Complete Cavaliers coverage now. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside our morning chat with former Cavs coach Mike Fratello, brought to you by Metro Lexus, former Cavs coach, one of the winningest coaches in NBA history, analyst now for the YES Network and TNT. Mike, good morning, pal.
Good morning, guys. We got a mess on our hands, don't we?
That we do. Let me read you the headline, and we've got this posted at willsinsider.com. Report, Kevin Love called out team meeting by Cleveland Cavaliers teammates. Meeting included coaches and the front office. What do you make of that?
Well, we're not the only team that's going through it, number one, okay? Washington just had their team meeting. I think it's like the fourth or fifth this season for Washington. And interesting that John Wall came out after the meeting and said, geez, guys weren't as receptive as they were last year when we had the team meeting, and it turned our whole season around. Right now, guys coming out of the meeting really didn't all buy in to the meeting. And Jason Kidd gets fired from his job in Milwaukee because of unrest and people who were unhappy with what was going on there. So now you turn to the Cavs and you say, well, with a group of veteran guys, and I must say this, I thought Terry Pluto's article yesterday was outstanding. The stuff he said, how he put it, it was right on the money, so much of it, as to what goes into forming a team, making a team, winning with a team, and then what can happen after you go through winning for a while and why it happens. The article was sensational. And I think right now what happens is you've got so many guys that are, maybe we need to cut out social media and talking too much, because there's more of that going on than there is playing right now.
Yeah, there's too much stuff, Mike, and we're looking for answers. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts all year. We've talked about it. Isaiah Thomas trying to get up to speed. He's not where he is ultimately going to be. The problem is, though, for the Cavs, Mike, they need to start winning some games now. This thing is, you know, we're getting closer to playoff time than further away from it.
I look at it like this. When the time comes that we get back to playing good basketball, if it starts tonight in San Antonio, Spurs are going to be missing four of their main guys tonight going into that game. But it could start the roll going. When we do get back on a roll, and I think this team can do that, I think it's going to be a great time for the team because they will have gone through the pain and suffering and understand how bad you can be and how bad you can look as a team. And they're going to be thankful when they get back to shots going in, them defending other people from getting to the rim, holding teams under 100 points a game. That's the one thing that Popovich came out and said about San Antonio. He said, look, offensively, we're not really good right now. We can't score the basketball, but we are holding people under 100 points. So they go into each night with the premise, like, let's hold these guys to a certain number and see if we can score enough points. And, you know, at home in 19-3, we don't have that approach right now with the Cavaliers, and there are so many reasons that you could look at that go into this type of thing.
Mike, I'm not asking you to second-guess Coach Lou. I wouldn't do that to you. But what do you think's going through his mind? It is surprising, or at least to me, I'll just speak for myself. I'm just wondering why he hasn't, you know, he said the other day he wouldn't make a change. They've been obliterated in some of these games. What do you think he's processing now that he's yet to make a move like that, maybe to the lineup or really do something with the rotation?
Mike, it's a great question, and here's my thinking on it. Maybe we need to give Teron Lou a little more credit than we're giving him for the fact that he might just know and have the feel for how volatile this team really is. And perhaps his thinking is, having been a player in the league for 13 years, maybe he understands, if I make a move now and everybody's pointing the finger at whoever it is that he replaces in the starting lineup and whoever they move up, are we putting all this blame on that one guy, which in turn not only takes that guy out of the mix, now you get other people start pointing the fingers, and he may have realized that, you know what, let me see if I can get us back to winning a couple in a row. And then if I think we need to make a change, I'm not doing it during bad times. But look, he has a great feel, great pulse for this team as far as, are they on the edge? Are they close to exploding? Are we pulling back together? It's one of the things, Mike, why these teams that you see, San Antonio, Brooklyn, Atlanta, they do so many of these team-building things where they do stuff together just so that guys don't fracture off. And interestingly, when Brooklyn loses, when San Antonio loses, you hear the players talking all positives about the program, about the organization, about each other, rather than trying to avoid it, not say anything, or point a finger in a negative direction towards somebody. And perhaps that's part of the reason why they do all this stuff.
Good take. Former Cavs coach Mike Fratello with what's going on with this team. Mike, thanks, bud.
Hey, Bill, just think about this. It makes you think about Kyrie Irving and what went on in his head. Think about that.
Great point. WTAM 1100. On tech and Netflix. Now I know why it keeps locking up. Agent Derek Meister, the geek of the Geek Squad, with me this morning. Netflix adding over 8 million new streaming customers. This company has now crossed $100 billion in market cap. Why didn't you tell me to buy stock in this thing, first of all?
the amazing part is that they also announced that they've signed up more than half of all U.S. home households that have high-speed internet. Not just that, but they're also building their customer base internationally. They're up to 190 countries. It's really quite amazing how, you know, the streaming revolution has come.
Amazing growth. Derek here to help you, though, if it's locking up once in a while. You've come across a couple of sites that might help on some different things, right?
Yeah, you know, one of the Netflix is one of those really great services when you're actually using it, but sometimes finding something to watch it isn't so easy. A new website called Flixable.com, F-L-I-X-A-B-L-E .com. It's looking to solve that by being a very simple and straightforward Netflix search engine. If you bring up the website, pops up and it'll actually show you all the latest releases by reverse date, in other words, newest to oldest. One tip I have for a lot of people, you can actually go to the IMDb rating at the top. Usually put in about 7+ on that and you'll find the better things to watch. I really do like how it brings up the little pictures for the movies, but also puts their IMDb rating. In other words, how good it is. So, you know, you'll go on there, do that, and you'll find that in January, Netflix added The Godfather Trilogy, Shawshank Redemption, a whole bunch of really good movies and TV shows. So I know some people don't like the Netflix user interface for finding new content. This is just a little great device to bring up, or a great website to bring up on your tablet or phone or even your computer. It takes you right to the page if you want to start playing it. Another really great feature of it across the tops is the leaving tab. Netflix, one of the things that people aren't aware of is that they obviously bring in new content, but they also have content going away. So, you know, that's a great way for you to look in for something that you may have been meaning to watch and catch it just before it leaves, because they will tell you precisely what date it will no longer be available.
I love tech and capitalism. Here's a website that's come along to help you with another website. Flixable.com is what we're talking about to help you with your Netflix experience. Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad, with me. It can be overwhelming with everything that's out there. Mm-hmm. There's yet another one, JustWatch.com. What's this do for me?
Yeah, JustWatch.com is a great site if you can't find something in particular on Netflix that you're looking for, an older movie or TV show, or just something in particular, especially even newer content. You put in the title on there or what you're looking for, and it'll actually search through all the streaming services, all the major ones, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, iTunes, HBO Now, as well as maybe some that you're not quite as familiar with, like Vudu, FX Now, Tube TV, and others. It's a really great way just to find all that content out there. It does include not just stuff that's included with any subscriptions you have, like Netflix or Hulu, but also rental and purchases online. So that kind of ties into a site that we discussed before, which is Movies Anywhere, that site that allows you to take those digital codes from movies that you've purchased and then watch them on all of your devices. So, you know, really, it makes it so much easier just to access all of that content wherever you're at when you want it.
JustWatch.com and Flixable, FlixAble.com, the sites we're talking about with Agent Derek Meister at the Geek Squad. Good tips. Pal, thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Well, I think this was actually one of those rare things where everybody won a little bit in Washington. Chuck Schumer's getting a bad rap, but he did his job. He had red state Democrats like Claire McCaskill running for re-election who didn't want a government shutdown hanging around their necks in coming election. He protected them. The Democratic left got an issue. Oh, those nasty Republicans wanted to shut down the government. So they're happy with Chuck Schumer just because they can blame him. Republicans kept the doors open. Donald Trump got another deal done. Everybody won a little bit.
Pretty good civics lesson, too, Alex, when it comes to the work of the Senate. One senator can hold everything up, right?
It is. It is. The greatest deliberative body can also be the greatest clogged up body. But, you know, Donald Trump put the heat on them. His uncertainty, his erratic style, his unpredictability made the Senate throw up their hands and say, look, we don't know what this guy wants. We've got to figure this out ourselves. And they actually did.
Let me ask you about Trump over the weekend. I know he tweeted a little bit. He didn't get to go to Mar-a-Lago, but maybe some, maybe some discipline on his end working behind the scenes helped this thing?
I think you picked up on the big story on this. Democrats were counting on Donald Trump to blow up, to blow this process up over the weekend, and he didn't. He backed up. He stayed off Twitter and let that spotlight be on the Democrats, and I think that's one reason Chuck Schumer came to the table.
Good take. We may all be back here, though, in a few weeks, and Alex Castellanos will keep a sharp eye. Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
Cavaliers coverage on News Radio WTAM 1100. Your Morning Cavs update brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Phil Wills, Mike Snyder alongside and with the team in San Antonio, where he and John Michael will call it tonight. Cavs legend and member of the 1980 world champion LA Lakers is Jim Jones. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
All right, couple headlines. Report Kevin Love called out team meeting. Sources say Love takes heat. Cavs illness. Team meeting. Coach, GM involved. Clearing of the air. You're with him in San Antonio. Jim, I feel that almost every day we've talked to you, you've called a team meeting in a way, you know?
well, you know, this has been very disappointing for this particular group. this season. And if they did have a team meeting to clear the air, I think it's the first step into getting better. You know, you can have all the strategies you want on the court, you know, and try to execute. But if there's not a change in their heads, it's not going to get better. That's the fundamental strength of a meeting. It undresses people. You know, it makes them look at themselves, and that's what probably they haven't been doing. They've been looking at each other. That's what I've been hearing. But a team meeting gives you a chance to sit across from somebody and look at yourself in a mirror. And that's the next step. Bill, we have a lot of things wrong.
Yep.
But it only takes three or four things to become good in that makes other teams adjust to you rather than what we've been doing, adjusting to everyone else. We can't be a jack of all trades and a master of none. That is the problem. So this thing cannot be cured overnight. And the only way that I know, through my own experience, dealing at home with issues and also on the basketball court, just do a few things well. If you do a few things well, you get the opponent adjusting to you rather than you adjusting to them. Now we're going somewhere.
Jim, the history of team meetings, the big thing is everybody come out of there and really just say, okay, hey, that was something. Maybe, as you say, look at yourself. This team needs to play for each other, doesn't it?
Yeah, they do, Mike. You know, that was one of my mainstays when you and I used to talk. When the teams were struggling in the past and you and I were doing radio together. And, of course, we love to do television because of the big bucks. But we were forced to do radio. But the point is this, is that in anything in life, when other people are involved, everyone has to work together for the common good. I'm being philosophical, but this is a biological, it's a physical, it's a mental, and it's a spiritual fact. In order to make progress as human beings, we have to work together. That is fundamental in anything, and it's no different in sports. These guys have to play for each other. You don't have to like each other, but you do have to play together, and that is a fundamental. This team is not a happy team because expectations were high. In spite of the loss of Kyrie, you know, the expectations are high, and they have to come together. This is no different than anything else. But the players have to get it done. I don't know who's leaking out information. These reporters are not your best friends. We know that from the past, Mike, when you and I were together and they were losing 26, 27 games in a row. But the point is this, is that it doesn't make any difference if it gets out. The difference has to be made on the court, but the difference can't be made unless it's made in your head first. That's why the strength of team meetings makes it unfaces people. It makes them look at themselves, because that's where we are right now.
All right, Jim.
We're not a good team.
No, that's been pretty obvious of late, but that's where they are now. Now, as you said, simplify things rather than try to play what the other teams are doing. What is one thing you would like to see in terms of the Cavs bringing to the table in tonight's game against the Spurs?
Oh, great, great question, Mike. I think the most fundamental thing is something that we've been harping on all season and what you and I have talked about in the past in our postgame. Transition defense. This is a different kind of game. It's suited for young athletic players who don't want to think much but want to be emotional. High-paced game, early offense, made or misses. You have to get back on defense. Transition defense is fundamental. It's harder to beat us 5-on-5, but everybody's got to get back, not just one, two, or three guys, because that's the fundamental strength of transition defense. You're hoping that you put yourself in a situation when you have numbers, and you can't turn the ball over. But it doesn't make any difference now because teams are running and playing up-tempo even after made baskets. So transition defense becomes the most important thing to defend against. We're not bad 5-on-5. What we're weak is transition defense. I think we're one of the worst in the league. I think we're one of the worst in opponents' transition points. Those are easy points. Those inspire these young players. Mike, there's a lot of young teams. There's a lot of teams with young players that are the fundamental strengths of some of these teams because of the style of play. And they're going to get better after the All-Star game. We don't know who's going to be first, second, or third, or fourth in the East. Boston, they laughed at us when we gave up 145 points. Oh, Boston's lost three straight. Oh, the Pacers came out here to the Spurs and whipped their butts in Spur country. They hadn't beaten them here, I think, in 12 or 18 tries. You see where I'm going with
good
this?
Good take, yeah.
So we're not the only team that has to make adjustments. There's a whole bunch of teams that have got to learn to play a different style of play because of the importance and the strength of high-paced basketball, and the denominator becomes, can you slow them down? And the first principle of slowing a team down is to get your butts back on defense where you have a strength in numbers. And that's why transition defense is the most important thing we need to improve upon.
Great take from Jim Jones. Hopefully we can do some of those things right tonight. Cavs Now with Nick Camino at 7. Mike will follow with a tip-off show. Jim and John Michael will call it for you at 8 from San Antonio on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Jim Jones, thanks, pal.
You're welcome.